Welcome to Recalculating Small Business. Like its award-winning book, Recalculating is dedicated to small business in America. Your hosts are Don Mazzella and Dan Perkins. Don Mazzella is the editor-in-chief of the Small Business Digest. Dan Perkins is a registered investment advisor with 43 years' experience in managing money.
Dan Perkins here, your co-host, along with Don Mazzella of Recalculating for Small Business. Our radio program is dedicated to you, helping the small business owners increase their profits. We draw our name from Recalculating, voted the best small business book of 2017 by the Independent Press. In this book, it features ways to grow your small business. Now, here's Don Mazzella.
Dan, our next guest is Ryan Wersch. He's got a new product, which I'm fascinated to learn about. It's called Dosh, D-O-S-H. It's a cashback medium for consumers and small business leaders. He's here to talk about this and more, and why, and more importantly, why it's good for small business. Ryan, welcome to the program.
It's good to be here. Thank you for having me on.
Ryan, tell us about your company, about your product, and a little bit about yourself. How did you come to create Dosh, and what are you doing to make it the product I think it should be?
Well, thank you for that. I've spent the better part of my career, about 25 years in technology and telecommunications, been with the great fortune of starting, being a part of leadership team of some great world-class companies. One of the companies I founded grew that from an idea to over a $1.2 billion publicly traded company with NASDAQ, providing primary mobile data services solutions for the largest mobile operators in the world. And what Dosh is us seeing a great opportunity to positively impact millions of people across this country and around the world. Ultimately, what Dosh is a mobile app that allows people to effortlessly get cash back from going and shopping, eating, staying in hotels, places that you're already going every single day, without having to coupon scan, without having to scan a receipt and turn it in, without having to clip a coupon. Ultimately, if there's $400 billion of available coupons and offers, the majority of people in this country don't do that. We said, is there a way we can actually create something that makes it automatic for consumers to get that cash back in their pockets by them just living their life?
Well, Dan, I'll let you take it from here.
Amazing concept. If this is an oversimplification, it's because I have a simple brain. But if I listen to what you said, would it be fair to say that you have figured out a way to automate the business, automate the service?
We have, and that was the entire purpose. What we saw is that merchants, brands, businesses, really are looking for three things, and why they spend $200 billion in advertising, why they put out $400 billion of the coupons and offers is they really want three things. They want to have new customer acquisition, they want loyalty with their customers, and they want their customers talking positively about their brand. We said, what if we actually reverse the equation? Instead of blasting, advertising out on radio and television, no disrespect to your show, television and print, what if we were able to help merchants and businesses get that same thing by taking those dollars and actually giving it to the very consumers they're actually talking to create a behavioral connection between the two of them? And ultimately what we've done is we've created this effortless cash back that all the consumer has to do is download the Dosh app. And today it's the fastest growing cash back, automatic cash back app in the world. All you have to do is download the Dosh app. You link the credit cards you're already using and debit cards you already use every day in your life. Link it one time, and then every time you go out and shop, you go out and eat, you go out and book a hotel through the Dosh app, you're going to automatically get cash back. I've got over $2,400 in my account from just the last 4 months while we've been in beta, from just going out and eating where I already like to eat. I was at Sam's Club over the weekend. I went to Sam's Club and got the stuff that I was getting, paid with a credit card that already has points on it anyway, And when I swiped my card, instantaneously I got a notification on my phone that I also got 2% cash back put directly in the wallet that's in the Dosh app, that I can move that money directly to my bank account, I can move it to PayPal or to any charity that I may want to donate it to.
So I think after the show I'd want to talk to you about how we can leverage your penetration by increasing your awareness in the business community. But let me move on. At 2%, you're giving them 2% on virtually any place they or any way they use the credit cards that are there.
Yeah, if it happens to be integrated, we already have over 100,000 merchants and brands and businesses already integrated into the Dosh app. So whether I'm going to Denny's, you know, for breakfast in the morning, or I'm a 23-year-old young lady and going and buying clothes at Forever 21. At Forever 21, I'm getting 5% cash back no matter what I'm buying in my basket. If I'm going to Denny's, I'm getting 10% cash back on everything I eat, you know, as an example.
So that's to me, that was a game changer, what you just said, because looking at 2% on anything would make you competitive to Bank of America and some of the other, quote, credit cards that offer cash back. But you're talking about, and just using
Dosh, yeah, and what you're getting with Dosh, just to interject, what you're getting with Dosh is I'm still getting my credit card that I have a J.P. Morgan card, I have an American Express, and I have a MasterCard. All mm-hmm. those points I get from those cards, using those cards, I still get those as well.
Mm-hmm.
On top of
mm-hmm.
that, I'm getting anywhere between 2% and 10% cash back on top of using those cards.
So if we send a businessman to your website, where would he go? What's your web address?
So you go to dosh.cash.
Dosh?
So www.dosh.cash.
Okay. No .com or anything, just .cash.
No, .cash.
Good. Terrific. So that what you have is the fact that you have anywhere up to 10% additional cash back in addition to the points if you're in a rewards program. Where I see this, and you could certainly help me, where I see this for our customers, our clients, and our listeners, the big advantage is that where you can use a credit card for business, whether it's Staples buying paper and office supplies or whatever, are there limitations as to the amount of money that you can earn in cash back? And how do you plan on growing your network?
Multiple questions there, and each one are very important. So one, there's no limit to the amount of cash back you can earn. I've got over $2,400 of mine. We've got some people that have got already here in the last several months over $4,000 of the cash back. You know, we have people going into Sam's and spending, you know, that they were going into Costco and now they're going into Sam's because that 2% to them is actually real margin. You know, if they're spending $50,000 for primary, you know, primary goods that they're using inside of their own business, that's actually real margin to them. You know, whether I'm going to Forever 21 and getting 5% cash back or I'm eating as much as I want to in the restaurants as well that are inside of the app, there's no limit to what you can get. Why merchants are doing this is because we built inside the technology true behavioral data to where they're able to see, increase in transactions, which is important to them. And I'll use an example of Forever 21. Forever 21... over a three-month period, before we had actually activated their very first offer inside of the app, which is 5% cash back on everything someone buys, they saw a base rate every single month for the first 3 months prior. The moment the offer went live, that increased for them over 1,000% when the offer went live from the base. We have with, you know, as an example, with one of our largest retailers here in the United States today, they saw within their very first week, the Dosh app was able to activate almost 5% of their inactive customers. It was also able to drive almost a 10% revenue lift on basket size for them, as an example. How merchants are looking at it and brands are seeing it as customer acquisition, because not only are people today going in because they happen to see it in the app, you don't have to go to the app, but it's a great place to go discover it if you want to. When somebody is actually getting that notification saying they just got, $5.76 because they had just had lunch and they paid with their credit card, and a notification pops up, gives that person an opportunity to click share, and now they share with their friends to let them know as well, again, leading to more customer acquisition. What's happening right now with merchants and brands across the country, from Tier 1, which we're talking about the, places like Sam's and Forever 21 that I've already mentioned, to your local merchants and businesses that, may have one store, may have five, may have 10 stores. What's great about that is it's creating a tremendous amount of visibility. And there's two ways that we're seeing merchants be discovered and come onto the app. One, they're engaging directly with us. Two, we have consumers that they themselves are recommending the very places that they love to go, that they want to see it in the Dosh app. And what they end up doing is they become some of the biggest advocates. Why? We pay an individual who actually refers a business, as an example. We give them 20% of the marketing fee that we are receiving from the merchant. That consumer or that referring party is getting 20% on every single transaction point we make. What that's doing is it's creating this massive social sprawl where people are referring the places they want to see in the app, which is great because it creates great visibility for the merchants that they love the most.
How long do they get the royalty?
2 years.
Ben, could I jump in here?
Sure, anytime.
I'd like to ask a question. Is it an app? You must use your phone to pay for your bill, or can you use your card?
No, you don't have to do anything with your phone. It's all automatic. That's what's beautiful about this. Once you go through the registration process, you install the app, you go through the registration, all you do is you enter, in my case, I've got 3 credit cards in the app. Once I do that, it's done. It's all automatic. You don't ever have to pick up your phone again if you don't want to. You're obviously going to want to. I get somewhat addicted because I see every day how much cash back I've gotten, but I also get to see there's a social board. So all the people that I personally have referred to use the app, I see the aggregate number of all of them and all the people they referred, the aggregate number of cash back people's gotten. So it makes me feel really good that my friends, giving an example, I've personally referred about 303 people to get the Dosh app. That's now grown into thousands and thousands of people. Now, the only benefit I get on that is I get $5 when I refer someone, but I don't get anything on anybody else. But I get to see the benefit of how much cash back, my friends. I just hit over $800,000, my friends, the 303 people that I referred, and all of the people that they've referred to get the app, over $800,000 has gone to them in cash back. It really makes me feel good that I was able to, in the last 4 months, see that type of money that was already in the ecosystem go to people that I know.
I want to go a step further. As Dan knows, I am very IT illiterate. Do I have to do it on my phone, or could I do it through my PC?
You need to download the Dosh app. So that's the first thing. And it's incredibly simple. So I would say that we made this.
You don't know me.
Well, you know what? I've given you more credit than that. If you know how to make a phone call, you'll know how to download this app. It's simple. And so if you know how to make a phone call, you do is do download the Dosh app, and it'll literally walk you through step by step. And then from that point forward, you literally can put up your phone. I'll give you another one that's inside the app is travel, and we have every hotel globally integrated into the Dosh app to where now I book through the Dosh app, and what we've done is said, there's a tremendous amount of profit and a lot of margin that, the companies, the largest, companies that are out there that people are calling typically and booking through are making. We said, why don't we give all that money directly to the consumer, and we'll just keep 15% of what we can help them get that they couldn't. So I'll give you an example. I booked a hotel room in San Francisco a couple weeks ago. I paid the very best price the hotel had. I paid the very best price that I could get on online, but I booked it through the Dosh app. When I checked out, I got $156.84 when I checked out in my Dosh wallet. Ended up, just a couple weeks ago, I stayed at a Marriott. Paid the very, very best price possible, $179. When I checked out, I got $38 in cash back when I checked out. And so what we've done is we said we're putting the consumer back in the center. We're also putting the merchant back in the center to enable them, for the dollars that they spend, we want to give them the greatest possible ROI for their dollar, and they actually can see it leading to positive transactions. For the consumer, we're saying, you know what? We're making this about you. We're moving billions of dollars to millions of people. That's the vision of the company.
Dan Perkins here from Recalculating.biz with your featured book. I want to tell you about a recent interview I had with Bob Bethel, a turnaround specialist with lots of success in small business. Bob's new book is Strengthen Your Business, Fail-Proof Strategies for Small Business. He tells us of his life successes and failures that have made him and his clients so successful. Over the years, Bob has brought 77 companies back from the brink and changed them into thriving, profitable businesses. His energy is amazing, and at 74, he proves that you can still have a great deal to give others if you just try. His suggestions are easy to understand and very helpful. One insight struck me was that most companies do not have a plan. The old Chinese proverb says, if you don't know where you're going, then any road will take you there, is true today. Bob Bethel's book, Strengthen Your Business, can be found at Amazon.com or can be ordered at your local bookstore. This has been Dan Perkins with your Recalculating.biz featured book. Dan Perkins here with your Recalculating.biz small business tip of the day. So you're thinking about starting a new business. How much money will you need? Sometimes starting a small business can be overwhelming. Can you afford to start your business? Do you even know how much money it will take? So here's your Recalculating small business tip of the day. Before you start your business, you need to figure out what it will cost you to run your household. How much money will you need to pay your current expenses? If you don't have a formal budget, then start one. Look in your checkbook for the last 2 years and see how much you spent. But just as important, where did you spend it? Next, see what can go. Can you reduce your out-of-pocket expense? I suggest to startups that they have at least 9 months worth of living expenses in the bank or brokerage account. Knowing you've got the money to live is one less thing to worry about. This has been your Recalculating Small Business Tip of the Day. I'm Dan Perkins.
Welcome back to Recalculating, the program dedicated to American small business. Now it's time to bring together our two experts, Dan Perkins and Don Mazzella, as they discuss things that are happening now that are affecting your business success.
I'm going to ask one more question and turn it back to Dan. But how do you know a small business is a Dosh? I just went downtown here in Palisades Park, and I went to believe it or not, there's a Pizza Maru, which is one of the largest chains in Korea, now opened a store. How do I know whether they're a Dosh participant or not, or anybody?
Yeah, so that's great. So there's two ways you can. One, when you open up your Dosh app, it's going to show you all of the closest merchants, brands, businesses, restaurants, etc. It's all going to show them all by proximity of who's a Dosh app user or who's a Dosh merchant. And so what that does is that obviously is creating positive acquisition for that merchant or brand. That's why we're seeing so many merchants coming on as quickly as are literally thousands and thousands of merchant doors are coming on every single month now. And so one is just open up the Dosh app and it's going to show you where the closest Dosh merchants are. Two is you can in fact go into the search bar and actually type it into the search bar to see if they happen to be a merchant. So if I'm going to New York City and, you know, on a trip, I can type in, I can pick my location, New York City, and actually type into the search bar a specific restaurant or the merchants that are within that specific area.
Dan, it's back to you. I mean, this is fabulous, but back to you.
Yes, oh, I agree. So the question is that I want to ask now, I hope the IRS isn't listening, but is cashback reportable as income?
It's not. And the reason being is because you're actually getting something off of a primary retail price, because you are in fact paying the retail price, and you pay your taxes when you pay that retail price. So the taxes are even paid on it from a sales tax perspective. This is cash back that's being returned to you. So it's not an IRS expense.
So it's in essence a discount off of the retail price.
Correct.
A refund. And it's not in a corporate setting where, let's say that I have a small business, I've got 10 employees and I've got 6 corporate American Express cards. Do the points and the cash back accrue to the individual, or do they go to the corporation?
So it depends. So in the case of a corporation that happens to provide the American Express card, and it's that is what is being used to book the travel, and that is what's being used to actually on a business trip to go out to dinner or buy whatever office items may be needed at pick a company. That would most typically go then to the benefit of the company, because it's the company's card, unless a separate arrangement has been established. What we're seeing right now, corporations across the country doing is, you know, the majority of all corporations let the employees keep their points. They let their company, their employees keep their, keep the rewards that they get. And what we're seeing is because this is actual cash, what we're actually seeing companies do across the country is actually promote Dosh to their users, to their employees, enabling them to receive additional benefit for themselves. So keeping those points, obviously they do on airlines, keeping those points at hotels, in this case keeping the cash back, because that very cash back is creating another positive incentive for their own employees based on doing the business for them that they do.
Does a participant, if I sign up tomorrow, do I pay a fee to join?
No, Dosh is totally free. Totally free to an employee. Or to a user, Dosh user.
Okay. Are you getting any pushback from the credit card companies?
No. In fact, why we are, one of few companies that are integrated directly into the credit card networks themselves. And the reason being is because Dosh is built around utilizing credit cards and debit cards, which the more people that are using credit cards and debit cards, the better it is for Visa, MasterCard, American Express, as an example. And so we're actually working very, very closely together, because it furthers their business and further benefits the customer to actually go to the very merchants that take Visa, MasterCard, American Express.
How long have you been in business, and how many participants do you have?
Yeah, so we launched our private beta at the beginning of summer. We rolled into public beta, which we still are in public beta. We won't have our national where we deem ourselves commercially live. Anybody can now go to the Apple Store, they can go to the Google Play Store, and they can download the Dosh app. But we've already had hundreds of thousands of people already come onto the Dosh platform, and growing this month alone, we'll grow another 100,000+ again. Still in beta.
So given the size of the American market, you're a tiny player, but have rapid acceleration.
Yes, we'll move into the millions in 2018. What we believe, this is the one app everyone's going to want. Why would you not have an app that sits on your phone, puts your credit cards in one time, and it's looking to find ways to bring cash back to you without you having to do anything? At the same time, we also believe it's the app that every merchant needs to be able to show even stronger ROI for every marketing dollar you're spending.
It's great that everybody's getting the 2%, but who's paying the 2%, and how do you make your money?
Yeah, so it's not 2% is the lowest. Obviously, at a merchant brand like Sam's, all the way to 10% at brands like a Denny's that I spoke about a few moments ago. So who is paying that is the merchant themselves. So the merchant, this is their way of actually creating a great connection with their consumer. So that cash back is actually being funded, in this case by Sam's, that 2%, or 10% by Denny's, as an example. That's actually coming from merchant. How we as a company make money is there is a marketing fee to actually integrate into our platform on every single transaction. that a consumer has with a merchant. The great news for a merchant, though, is they don't pay unless there's a transaction.
It seems like every week goes by some major security breach with a credit card company or consumer finance or something. How do you, when you're taking all the credit card data from a consumer, how do you assure them protection of their data?
Yes, that's great. And we, because we're integrated into the actual credit card networks themselves, our level of security, as we say here internally, we have bank level security. We started this entire company based on we have to secure every single interaction that a consumer could have with us. So we actually vault and don't hold resident of core credit card data, so that even if there was ever a breach, which there would not be because of the level of security we have, it would be rendered meaningless to anybody who ever saw it.
Why shouldn't I do this?
There's no reason you shouldn't. Zero reason. The only reason you shouldn't is you don't care to have money put into your wallet. You know, if you're a person that, you know, you're walking down the street and the $20 bill's sitting there on the ground and there's no one else around, you're the person that doesn't pick it up, you just keep walking. So what we found is no matter how much money you have or how little, we're all the same way. We would rather keep the money in our pocket if possible. And, you know, if you are a person that, you know, you go to a store and the person in front of you, you know, pays $20 less than you for the same item, you're so generous you say, no, I'd rather give the store $20 more.
So it would seem to me that people should participate in this program, but we want to talk to you about how we can encourage that. But from our standpoint, the small business, if I have a business where I have some number of my salespeople that are traveling, whether they're buying gasoline, airline, or hotels, you've basically created a way to add incremental income to the employee, not paid by the corporation, but you're putting real money in their pocket.
We are. I just got an email about an hour ago from the CEO of a company. You know, it's I would call it a more small to medium size company. They've got, you know, around 50 employees. They really, really proud about what they're doing. But he himself booked a hotel for a business trip, because the CEO is no different than, you know, an engineer or someone working customer service, whoever it may be in a company. He booked his hotel, and when he checked out, he got $42 in cash. Now, when he, because he paid the best price possible for the class of hotel that they have set as a policy within their own company, he paid the very best price possible. But that $42, Tim, was real money. Now, you take somebody who's, you know, traveling potentially in a month, maybe five times, six or seven times a month, or 6 days or 7 days a month, and, you know, we're right now averaging approximately $40 cash back per trip. Well, that turns into real money as a benefit for someone, depending on the type of hotel it is. But, you know, that could be a, you know, extra trip. That's actual cash trip. You know, for your family, that could be buying something for your spouse or significant other. It's real. And our whole objective is how do we make a real difference in people throughout this country by them just living their lives?
Unfortunately, we're out of time. I would love to spend some time, and maybe after the show we can hook up and talk about how we might do some things. So thank you for a fascinating discussion. Don?
Ryan, your website again and how people could reach you.
You bet. Dosh.cash, www.dosh.cash, C-A-S-H, to be able to, you can go right from the website, and that website will take you directly to the App Store, or you can go directly to the Apple App Store or the Google Play Store and download the Dosh app there and go directly through the process.
Thank you so much for being with us, Ryan. It's been illuminating.
Want to know more about health savings accounts for your company or yourself? Go to 2HSA.com and get a free employer's primer. Health savings accounts are a cost-effective way of offering health care benefits to your employees and yourself. HSAs build retirement funds for your employees, improve morale, and reduce your health care benefit cost. For a free employer guide to HSAs, go to 2HSA.com. That's 2HSA.com.
Dan Perkins here from Recalculating.biz with your featured book. I want to tell you about a recent interview I had with Bob Bethel, a turnaround specialist with lots of success in small business. Bob's new book is Strengthen Your Business, Fail-Proof Strategies for Small Business. He tells us of his life successes and failures that have made him and his clients so successful. Over the years, Bob has brought 77 companies back from the brink and changed them into thriving, profitable businesses. His energy is amazing, and at 74, he proves that you can still have a great deal to give others if you just try. His suggestions are easy to understand and very helpful. One insight struck me was that most companies do not have a plan. The old Chinese proverb says, if you don't know where you're going, then any road will take you there, is true today. Bob Bethel's book, Strengthen Your Business, can be found at Amazon.com or can be ordered at your local bookstore. This has been Dan Perkins with your Recalculating.biz featured book. Dan Perkins here from Songs and Stories for Soldiers with your veterans tip of the day. As a veteran, are you getting everything that you're entitled to? Many merchants are proud to offer discounts to veterans. They can be anything from a big box store to the corner market. Most don't do a very good job of promoting their veterans' programs, so you'll have to do a little homework and find them on your own. This is especially important if you're making a major purchase like appliances or even a new car. So when you're going to the store, get into the habit of asking the salesperson, do you offer discounts to veterans? If they say yes, then ask how much. If you need a new refrigerator or a new washer and dryer, the discount for you could be significant. So make sure you get what you're entitled to by stepping up and asking, do you offer discounts for veterans? Your wallet will be better off for asking. This has been Dan Perkins with your Songs and Stories for Soldiers.us Veterans Tip of the Day.
Having talked with Laura McLeod before, I'm really looking forward to our discussion. She brings a wealth of experience and savvy to our show today. And as she points out, when workers say, not my job, what follows is a mess. Laura, welcome to the program.
Thanks, Don. It's great to be here. Thanks for having me.
Well, the first thing I want you to do is tell us a little bit about your background. Then I want you to tell us what you mean by when workers say, not my job. Because I think it's so, if I've heard that once, I've heard it 100 times, and it just happened again yesterday in a very interesting way. So,
okay. Actually, I'd like to hear about that. Yes, it's a, well, let me get to that. First, let me tell you a little bit about me. Currently, I have my company, which is called From the Inside Out Project. And this came from a variety of sources in my past experience. The first one being that I spent almost 20 years working as a union employee in a hotel. I worked as a server and as a bartender in a New York City hotel, and I did this for years while I was pursuing an acting career, while I went back to school for my master's degree in social work. And so I have now combined my social work skills, which focus on groups, so team relationships and communication and problem solving and that kind of thing, with my experience in the workplace. And again, my focus is on the employee relationships and what's going on among coworkers, what's happening with the boss and the staff and the higher-ups. All those things very dramatically affect the actual productivity or lack of productivity. So that's what I do. And what you're talking about, the not my job, when workers say it's not my job, it is a huge mess. You're referring to Don, which you took a look at. I have a brand new video out that's called The Bloody Mary Mess, And you can see that at bloodymarymess.com. And the bottom line here is that I saw this many times when I was working in hotels where, you know, we can't figure out whose job it is to cut the lemons or to clean the bar stand or whatever it is. And so we're busy fighting about that, and nobody's getting served. Drinks aren't getting served. Work isn't being done. And it's a big mess. So working through that, how do you do? What do you do with that if you're the manager? What do you do with that if you're one of the workers? A lot of problems. A lot of problems with that.
So, okay. I'm going to just tell you one instance yesterday and then turn it over to Dan. But I was at a very, very nice affair, and I'm going to give them a plug because they were giving away free bourbon. I don't drink, but it was very interesting. The food was great. But
okay.
What happened was that everybody was having a good time until something spilled. And then right in the middle of everybody having a good time, there was a spill. And no one would clean it up. And we were all stepping around it. So until finally, the person running the event for Brown and Foreman got down on his hands and knees and cleaned it up. And I thought it was a very interesting experience, and I knew you were coming on the show, and I had to mention it.
Wow. Well, did you notice others, the workers themselves, whether they were waiters or whoever they were working there, were they actively running away from the mess of the spill, or were
they
just
stepping around it? What
oh, my.
Me and my wife is, they were stepping around it. And because apparently there was something else going on, I'm sure, because they were clearly not working in concert. I won't mention the venue. I will mention the fact. But I've seen that more than once, and I think that's
yes.
what you're referring to.
That's exactly what I'm referring to. What I loved your phrase, when they're not working in concert, you have – who knows what's going on, but – clearly, they're not working in concert, and then that's what happens. I mean, it's a lovely affair, but that's what you remember, that there was a spill and nobody touched it until the man who's running the event. Wow, that's wow.
Yeah, well, what impressed me was that the guy got down on his hands and knees and cleaned it up himself.
Wow.
It was anything. With that,
yeah.
On that note, I'm going to turn it over to Dan.
Okay, great. Hi, Dan.
Hi. Well, one of my first job as decades ago, half a century ago, was working at Howard Johnson's, which I don't think there are any of them left anymore. It was a busboy. But if we take Don's example of his experience yesterday, I think it's an example of two things. One, a lack of management training and clear definition to the employees what is expected. And two, as it relates to the employees who are saying it's not my job, it is a lack of understanding what their responsibilities are. And so if it's not in their job description, they don't do it. And so I think it's a management problem. I think if people understand what the mission of the company is, or in this case, the restaurant or party house or whatever it was, our job is to provide a very positive experience because we need those recommendations. So if there should be a protocol, if what if there is a spill? What do we do? Who does it? And the fact that the people walked away from it or stepped around it was a combination is I didn't want to get involved, but also because management had not set up a set of specifications as to what are we going to do in the event this happens.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
you agree or
you're
not?
Right on all counts. And I think However, let me speak to the second part of what you said of the responsibilities and the mission, and we're all clear that, you know, we need to do well at every party so we can get more parties and all that. The busboy, the waiter, the server, all the staff that's working there may or may not really buy into that. And that's, meaning, okay, maybe they're just here for this party or that party and they figure, you know, it's not a big deal and the place does well and there'll be plenty of parties and I'll have plenty of work to do. So it's important for the management to make it clear the specifics. So if there is a spill, who's doing what? And beyond that, so let's say we've determined that, you know, the bussers are supposed to clean up a spill, right? Okay, fine. So the spill happens and there's no busser available. The bussers are making coffee, they're doing some other cleaning things, and I'm strolling by and I'm a server. So what do I do? I say, hey, that's not my job. I'm walking past here. I'm going to go get a busboy. No. If I've got a strong relationship with the company, with the manager, if we've set the expectations, then I'm going to say, hey, you know, I'm going to help out here. I'm going to do this. And that's going to be that. That has to be there too. Because even if it's been told, like, oh, well, it's Joe's job or Jane or whoever, maybe Joe and Jane aren't there. So I think that's crucial too.
Well, it's a matter of personal accountability.
Yes.
You know, somebody once said there is no I in the word team.
Yes.
And if we are running a business to have the best possible experience, and the best possible experience means that the staff and the employees get the greatest chance for the greatest amount of income as a result of that experience, then there can be a buy-in. But I do believe that there are some people who just plain believe I wasn't hired to clean up that, or it's beneath me, or whatever. And
yes.
If it goes uncorrected, the implication for the management is that the attitude can spread through other employees.
Yes.
And then you've got a problem. You've got a serious management problem.
Yes, you're absolutely right, because it spreads from one. If I'm not doing it and I throw up my hand, say it's not for me, why wouldn't somebody else do that too? It's going to spread everywhere. And you're right, it does come, absolutely comes from the management. And the managers need, in my experience on both sides, being on, you know, a consulting side and being also one of the workers and seeing managers, working with managers. You know, I'm sure you've seen them too, whether it's from your work at Howard Johnson's or wherever. The ones that come in and they have a confidence about them, they have an approachability, they have clear expectations. That's one of the first words you said here. Very, very important. If I know what's expected of me and I have questions about that or whatever, I can ask them. But if it's unclear who's doing what and where we are at what time and this, that, and the other thing, it's already a mess, no matter if there's a spill or not, because I'm not clear, my teammates aren't clear, and we're all kind of, you know, working in this gray area. So
right.
Then nobody's cleaning up the spill for sure.
Well, I have, as Don gave us his personal experience yesterday, I ran a rather large department for Merrill Lynch when I left brokerage production.
Mm-hmm.
And I became the manager of that department. And one of my employees knocked on my door to come in and see me. And I said, sure, come on in. And he came in and sat down to me. And he said, I've been here another year. I'm due for an annual raise.
Oh.
And I said, excuse me? He said, well, that's the way it's worked in the past. I go in and say, I'm ready for a raise. And I always got a raise. And I said, well, that sheriff doesn't work here anymore. You're going to get a raise. You've got to show me that you've done something that deserves a raise going forward. And he did not get a raise, was not interested in trying to figure out what he needed to do to get a raise. And he eventually left. Not that I drove him away, But there are some people who feel, just like the people who say it's not my job to clean it up, there are some people in certain positions feel like they're entitled to certain benefits because of who they are or how long they've been in a particular spot.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
And then,
wow.
Yeah, and then you have the challenge, and perhaps you see this in your practice, where in essence the old axiom, the inmates are running the institution. Do you run into that much?
Yes, absolutely. And that can happen. I was just thinking as you were talking about, you know, the guy who doesn't really want to do whatever it takes to get the raise. And I think that kind of thing where the inmates are running it comes a lot of times in a place. First of all, the union has a certain effect there. People feel protected. They feel that they're, some of them, now I wouldn't say the majority, but many of them feel they're protected so they can kind of run amok and nobody's getting fired. I think also in jobs where it's a repetitive job, and it's a job, not a career. So you're a busboy, a server, a bartender, a housekeeper, a receptionist, a janitor. Those are jobs. You're ostensibly not going to be moving anywhere, and you're doing the same thing every day. That's when it can become repetitive. It can become boring. You wonder what the point is. Maybe you do feel entitled. You should be somewhere else. You should be doing something better. And that's where it becomes an issue of management's responsibility, not to motivate you. It's not a babysitting service. You're getting paid. But they've got to do something to get people back on track sometimes. I mean, we all fall off track, and I think that it's especially easy to do that in a repetitive job.
Want to know more about health savings accounts for your company or yourself? Go to 2HSA.com and get a free employer's primer. Health savings accounts are a cost-effective way of offering health care benefits to your employees and yourself. HSAs build retirement funds for your employees, improve morale, and reduce your health care benefit cost. For a free employer guide to HSAs, go to 2HSA.com. That's 2HSA.com.
Dan Perkins here from Recalculating.biz with your small business tip of the day. How is your vision? I'm not talking about your eyesight, but rather can you see the changes coming in your business or industry? The ability to see what's coming can give you an edge over your competition. Industry magazines can be a great help to see changes coming to your business. You get the magazines because you belong to a group. Use the resource of your group or association to keep yourself current. You're paying for it anyway, why not use this resource? If you keep yourself abreast of what's happening, you will be able to make the changes to enhance your opportunity to grow your business. So here's your recalculating.biz small business tip of the day. The next time you get one of those membership magazines in the mail, sit down and read it cover to cover. You just might uncover a new opportunity. I'm Dan Perkins from Recalculating.biz with your small business tip of the day.
Welcome back to Recalculating, the program dedicated to American small business. Now it's time to bring together our two experts, Dan Perkins and Don Mazzella, as they discuss things that are happening now that are affecting your business success.
Well, you know, one of the things that Don and I talked about a year or so ago when we had another show. We were talking mostly about politics, but we both believe that the reason for this show being on the air is that Donald Trump was going to change America. He was going to change the attitude. He was going to change the atmosphere. And there were a lot of people that were on our show who talked about what it was like to try to run a business in the previous 8 years. And some really struggled to survive. And if the employees don't feel that their job is secure because the company's having difficulty, it's hard to get them engaged.
Yes.
But
yes.
Again, this is a management problem that they need to help the employees understand, and it really comes down to the old C word. How well are you communicating to your employees?
Yes.
What's going on from the company and what's expected of you as an employee.
Yes, absolutely. And I think that really harkens back to transparency and what's going on here. And I think a lot of times, I'll give you a small example that I think is pretty apt. When I was working in a restaurant, I worked in hotels and restaurants, we had this one dish on the menu that was a big seller. We all made money off this dish. The regulars loved it. People loved it. It was a great dish. We sold a lot of it. We made money. Everybody's happy. Well, one day, management comes in and says, well, here's the new menu. So we look at the new menu, and that lovely dish that we loved is now off the menu. Say, hey, what's going on here? You know, this was a favorite dish. The customers loved it. You knew that. What's going on here? Well, it's summer, and we're changing the menu, and that's that. Nothing more. So how do you think we're feeling about that? I mean, not so great. That was our living. That was part of what we're doing here. And you just pulled it and gave me no explanation whatsoever. So what do you think my reaction's going to be? I'm not going to be so happy. It's going to be a little, you know, tougher. Now, we found out later that the fact was that the particular dish was very labor-intensive. It was costing them a lot of money. It was too much prep work. They wanted to cut back on the cooks. And so it was a matter of economics, and they replaced it with some other things they thought were better. Now, we may or may not agree with that idea. We still, you know, miss our dish. But at least we'd understand why. You could have told us that in about 10 seconds, and it would have helped. But we weren't told anything, like just this is the deal and let's keep marching. Well, let's keep marching where? Why? Why should I keep marching?
First, I want Laura, what is your website?
My website is fromtheinsideoutproject.com. And I would also love people to go to bloodymarymess.com.
Tell us what those two things do. Those are great titles, but tell us about
aren't they? Great, yes. At fromtheinsideoutproject.com, you can find out about me. You can see my press page. You can find out about how I started, a lot about my services and my work. There's a case study there. BloodyMaryMess.com is a great video and some free professional tips on leadership, moving from being just the boss to becoming a real leader. And the video's fun. Cool.
At the risk of sounding like a sot, Bloody Mary sounds like a great name for any website.
I think so, too.
Back to you. You're doing such a good job on this one, Dan. I'll just sit back and listen.
So what industries? I mean, you talked a lot about restaurant. Is that,
yes,
is that the biggest culprit of not my job, or are there other industries that are just as bad?
I think it's everywhere. I really do. I work with a variety of places and different types of organizations, and I'm thinking right now, I do some staff support groups in not-for-profit agencies. So one in particular, where the workers are out there advocating and attempting to get housing for people, and housing and medical services, and essentially advocate for a variety of people who need, you know, services. And the not my job piece, they don't quite say, well, that's not my job, but they're feeling it. Meaning, in the social services, often people are overloaded with work. They have 50 clients, 60 clients, 80 clients, and they need paperwork, and they have all these things to do. And there never seems to be a clear-cut, back to the expectations, which you said a while ago, clear-cut expectations. So, oh, I was supposed to do X, Y, and Z. Well, now I'm supposed to do A, B, and C also. And the receptionist just stepped out today, so you want me to answer the phones too? So, again, it's unclear. All right, once in a while, the receptionist got sick, and so I'll help out here. But then you have to give me a little slack because I didn't finish that thing you wanted me to do because I was sitting at the receptionist desk answering calls for 2 hours today. So that's got to be weighed too. If I step in and help out because, you know, I'm part of the team here, you got to work with me. And I think that's that comes into play. Many other industries where people are just fed up, I think it's back to what you said about if people don't are feeling insecure about their jobs or insecure about the company, they're less likely to put themselves out, do something that's, you know, maybe not totally written down in the job description.
How does a manager who realizes he has people with this attitude problem, how does he, if he's been, quote, managing them for some period of time, how does he change his demeanor to move people to the right direction?
Great question. I think it starts with acknowledging there's a problem, saying, hey, you know what, folks, we've had this and that and the other issue, and these things have come up about whose job it is, and I'm getting really a sense of, you know, you're disgruntled and people are not really performing. So let's look at this. First thing is, this is my understanding of what the jobs are. These are the expectations. You'd want to review them, get feedback on that. Somebody might say, well, hey, I don't think so. I don't think X, Y, and Z are the jobs for my job. And you want to have a conversation about it. I think that's the place to start. You have to be careful, of course, because this is not a therapy session. We're running a business here, and it's not your job, of course, as manager to babysit and or, you know, do the job for them. But I think it's important to acknowledge what's going on or not. You know, I'm seeing that things are not working well, and let's figure this out. Because often what I get from employees is that they want to be heard, not necessarily that their suggestion or their thought is going to be taken up to the CEO and things are going to change that way, but just hear me. Acknowledge that I got something to say, I'd like to say it, and just hear it. You know, no, I'm sorry, Joe, we can't do that because of this, but thanks for, you know, thanks for sharing, and let's get back on track. And here's why. Again, you mentioned this. Why we need to get back on track. It's important.
Did I hear from Don that you have a book out?
No, not yet. I'm working on it, and you will be one of the first to know when I get there.
Okay.
I'm working on it. Nothing yet, but thank you
for
asking.
Do you have a working title?
I don't yet, but I think Bloody Mary Mess and Not My Job and all of these things will be in there prominently.
Okay. Good. Well, thank you for joining us today.
Yeah, thanks so much. It was a pleasure. I enjoyed it.
Well, Laura, first, before you go, tell us your websites again. They're too good to miss.
Sure. www.fromtheinsideoutproject.com and www.bloodymarymess.com.
Really terrific. Laura,
thank you
for being with us.
Thanks so much. I so enjoyed it.
Dan, tell us a little bit about your new book.
The book literally just went on for sale on Amazon. It's called Why Can't Grammy Remember Me? I believe it's the first book of its kind written for children of ages 9 to 12 dealing with dementia. And it's done as a mystery. And it's about two little girls, Hudson and Charlotte, who come face to face with trying to figure out what's happening to James's grandmother who has dementia. The children or grandchildren are the forgotten part of this puzzle of dementia. Mom and dad are spending so much time trying to figure out how to help grandma and grandpa. They pay less attention to the needs of their grandchildren to understand what's happening to grandma and grandpa. So hopefully this book will not only help 9 to 12 year olders, but also it's also written for an entire family and has a whole series of programs and things that families can do together to preserve the memory of their grandparents. Available at Amazon.com.
And tell them the name of the book again.
Why Can't Grammy Remember Me?
Thank you for joining us on Recalculating. We hope the information you received on today's episode was helpful to you in starting and growing your business. Please go to our website, recalculating.biz, to contact us, to listen to past shows, and see special offers. Until next time, remember, if you grow, we grow. Join us next week for more helpful ideas to make your business a great success. Recalculating, a program designed to help you be successful.